Welcome to Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio, powered by The Barbershop. In this podcast, we'll bring you the latest insights and trends from industry leaders in advertising and marketing. Join us as we dive into discussions that shape the future of our industry.
Hey, thank you everyone. Good afternoon. Welcome to day two of Advertising Week. So we've got two sessions back to back. So the second session, hang around after 15 minutes, we're going to talk about the creativity and art of trans creation with Rick, who's the trans creation partner at TAG. But first of all, sat with me is Adora. Dora is the founder of Amica Studio, and we're going to explore their unique growth creator model. But I think first and most importantly, let's have a quick background on kind of what Amica Studio is and where kind of the idea came from.
Well, thank you so much, Jamie, for having me. As mentioned, my name is Adora. I'm the founder of Amica. We are a digital publishing platform that empowers creators to be able to create, share, and amplify and monetize their stories, mainly through subscriptions and through brand partnerships. We work with brands to be able to develop in-house creator solutions, leveraging our technology, as well as our insights and data on how to reach diverse audiences and consumers on and off platform as well.
Yeah. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Just forgot to say as well, if you want to ask Adora a question kind of after these 15 minutes, might have time for one or two, just use the Slido app and post them in there and we'll cover them. Thanks for the overview. I guess kind of what inspired the development then? What kind of inspired you kind of think that this is something that's needed and kind of led with it?
Yes. So for me, I think we can tackle it in two ways in a personal professional world. So my background, I'm Nigerian, but spent a lot of time in the US, specifically in the media world, as well as advertising world. And noticed a lot of issues when it came to obviously representation in terms of storytelling, and accessing various different creators to be able to amplify different brands and their initiatives and their stories. A lot of the different challenges that we've seen, especially for Black and African creators, is there's a lot of issues when it comes to access to monetization, access to opportunities, when it comes to amplifying work. There's a lot of disparities between Black content creators and their white counterparts as well, typically being underfunded. So what we've done is essentially looking at we've developed a digital ecosystem and platform that really just provides like a digital space for you to create and share your stories, very similar to kind of like a Substack, Medium, Patreon. But in addition for it being kind of like a content creation platform, there's an opportunity for you to be able to source and commission different content creators and have different monetization offerings. So that was one of the main things. We wanted to be able to address issues around disparity, but also accessibility and growth for a lot of our Black and African content creators.
Yeah. So for your creators, I think kind of you developed this really unique growth framework. Yeah. And I read a stat that kind of the active creators in your platform are growing at the average of 35% month to month, which is just an incredible stat. So can you kind of break down what this kind of you create a growth framework actually looks like and what really makes it unique?
Yes. So what we've done with our creator growth framework, we've been speaking to various different brands. We've worked with the likes of Nike, YouTube, as well as African financial institutions looking to reach diverse and young audiences. And the main pain point that we've seen is around three things: money, time, and effort. Really the kind of the money to be able to, find and source creators, the time to be able to really have a strong understanding of them, and the effort to be able to establish a kind of sustainable growth framework that focuses on conversion. Obviously now with our current economic, situations, people and brands and businesses really care about the return on investment and how to maximize a lot of their budgets. So we've developed a, creative growth framework on how to work with diverse creators, but have a sustainable growth framework. We split it into like about four different ways. So one is really obviously looking at the main pain point of of your target consumers or of your brands, but really decentering the brand and the kind of content that you create. The second way is finding the right creator, so creator fit. So who's the right creator to be able to amplify the specific pain points and address the specific concerns, as well as the solutions that your brand offers. Then the third way is amplifying a lot of that work through partnerships, ads, so Instagram partnerships, TikTok Spark, leveraging the creator and really putting paid spend and behind it so you can have like targeted approach. And then the fourth way is really repurposing that content in cultural spaces, whether it's an event activation, whether it's working with a, you know, a diverse media on platform to be able to boost that work. And what we've seen is when we have those steps, the main goal is obviously having more of that opportunity for consumers to, you know, to purchase and to access a lot of that work. But mainly where we see the magic happens is when the consumer actually creates content about the brand, with sharing their experiences, and the brand can leverage and utilize that content to be able to disperse and activate more consumers. So essentially, it's kind of like this kind of growth framework that we've had as well. And it's like a step-by-step process that I think a lot of brands, in terms of from a formula perspective, need to be able to integrate as well.
Yeah, perfect. I mean, so let's have an example of that then. So what kind of brand creator partnership kind of jumps to your mind when you think of an example of Famica and how it's worked?
Yes. So what we did, we worked with a global recruitment company in the UK that was looking at how to really tackle and attract kind of diverse applicants to want to work with African multinationals. And so we leveraged that framework by developing a lot of the storytelling and narrative around the key pain points around moving to, you know, if you're from the UK or based in the UK, moving maybe back to your home country to work, what are the particular problems, but also what are the opportunities? And so we developed content strategy, worked with specific content creators that had a very strong discussion and audience around professional growth, development, but really allowing them to have autonomy over the storytelling and the narrative and how they wanted to position a lot of the work. And then we did put a lot of paid boost behind that as well. And so how we were able to achieve growth for the brand is they wanted people to come onto their platform as well as to attend their recruitment event. And we achieved the target by over 200, by 200% by leveraging this creator growth framework. So that's one of the ways that we've typically worked with different brands, by having this kind of like strategic formulaic approach when it comes to growth from a, you know, content creation perspective.
So you said they kind of, you overachieved by kind of 200%.
Yes. Yeah.
How are you measuring success with these collaborations then? What are you looking at?
So a lot of the brands, it really depends on the campaigns, but what we look at is obviously, you know, looking at conversion.
Yeah.
Obviously looking at click-through rate as well. And so what we've seen with partnerships ads and even some research, typically there's a 53% increase in click-through rate when you have a focus on leveraging creators as your growth framework, as your growth engine. And so that's what we've typically been doing. We don't really advise anymore to, you know, a lot of people don't have the budgets or the focus on these big campaigns and that are very far removed, that aren't really focusing on really engagement and connectivity with diverse audiences. So that's something that we've seen, and that's a form of growth with the kind of click-through rate and engagement. And another thing I'll also say, we also did a report on how to reach diverse audiences, specifically Black women as well. And what we've seen is that product reviews are the first thing that comes up as a measure of a way to convert people in terms of you know, consumers, but also about 36% of our respondents said that they typically like to find influencers or creators that look like them for relevant information, for new content. And again, that was most likely would make them convert. So that those are the kind of stats and figures that we've developed as a company to be able to find, but also putting it in practice to be able to get those results in conversion as well.
Yeah. So we've touched on this a bit just then, you did kind of, but what I really want to get into is kind of, why is it for brands and why is it so important that they're engaging with these diverse cultural spaces?
I mean, one of the main things is obviously when you speak to various different diverse consumers, you're able to obviously have more, obviously more reach, more engagement. But also, especially in, if we're looking at the Black and the beauty space, typically Black consumers or Black women consumers typically spend the most in this category, are highly engaged the most in this category as well. And so I'm sure some people may have seen, obviously, like a lot of issues when, you know, brands aren't considering various diverse communities, their backgrounds and their experiences. Typically, when that happens, Black creators, Black users on social media are usually the most vocal and most active. So it's very important to be able to not see them as an afterthought, but really an integrating into your whole strategy and messaging, because from a social perspective, very highly active consumers, but also from a kind of like conversion economic perspective, consumption perspective, spending the most specifically in that category, I think is incredibly important to be able to understand.
Yeah. So you mentioned there kind of the importance of brands integrating that into kind of those principles into their brand strategy. I guess what I really want to understand as well is what some of your key principles are then. Kind of, well, what are the key principles that kind of guide the collaborative efforts across kind of Amica and those collaborations?
Yes, so I would say the main first principle, it's actually two principles. So one of them is decentering the brand. So I know that sometimes when we speak to brands, I think that's a bit of a contentious issue. But we always want to make sure that you're obviously in your content, you're adding value, a specific understanding the specific pain point. It's not really about the brand, it's what the brand or what the offering is can do for them. And so it's really important to be able to kind of look at that framework. Like, how can we solve them? Let's say this brand wasn't here today. What are the solutions that we'd be able to provide for them? Yeah. Then how can we integrate that into the storytelling and into narrative? And then I would say the second thing is creators and consumers are growth engines. I think a lot of, especially now in the time, obviously leveraging TikTok with the use of not only influencer generated content, but user generated content as well. You don't have to have millions of followers to be able to inspire confidence, trust, or your influence. There are people that I've never seen before that I found on TikTok that I was deeply influenced by because of the ways that they shared a solution to a specific pain point that I had or for different consumers. So I would definitely say it's really important to look at that beyond the influencer framework. How do we use communities? How do we use consumers as authentic growth frameworks? And then also leveraging paid ads to really target your specific target consumer.
Yeah, that's perfect. There are a few things that I wanted to get into, but we're actually down to the last 30 seconds, which also means, sadly, we won't have time for any questions. But I'm sure kind of post the kind of next interview, Dora will be outside and more than happy to answer questions. But I just want to use the last kind of 20 seconds or so to look at the future. So Amica Studio has grown so much in just a few years since you launched it. What does the future look like? What are you looking at the next couple of years? What are you planning?
Yes. So what we're looking at is looking at how we can essentially develop our platform further to make it more seamless for brands to connect with creators, obviously from sourcing, from commissioning, also financing on the platform for creators as well as for brands to be able to seamlessly pay, content creators, diverse content creators in the UK and the US, as well as on the continent of Africa as well. So that's what we've been developing further as a platform to be able to have more of a seamless growth solution that leverages connectivity and growth for brands as well as creators as well.
Perfect. Yeah. Great. Can we have a round of applause for Andorra?
Thank you for listening to this episode of Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio. Stay connected with us on social media using the handle @AdvertisingWeek and visit our website europe.advertisingweek.com for more exclusive content. This podcast was produced by Podcanda, the audio conference solution.